You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church, Ross on Wye. To find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Sozi, Kalangala, Uganda. We are very happy to be able to be with you this morning and to join you for your service. We thank you for asking us to come and share with you, and I hope that what we do is going to come over well and that you will hear clearly what we're saying. So God is calling us to be followers of Jesus. That was the word God gave me for here. And a follower of Jesus is a disciple of Jesus. So that fits in with all that you are looking at in CLC. Jesus wants us to follow him and do things his way, not our way, because his way is the best way. And if we look in Matthew chapter 4, from verse 18, we will see where Jesus called his disciples to follow him. It says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting their net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, said Jesus, and I will send you out to fish for people. But once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James and John, and they were in the boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed him. Now, I used to think that that was very strange, that Jesus would call them, and they would immediately just leave everything. Was that the first time they'd heard him, seen him? No, I don't think so at all. If we look in the beginning of John's Gospel, we see how Jesus was moving around in Galilee and Nazareth and Capernaum and Cain. And these people who were listening to him and hearing him, they hear him in the synagogue, they hear him talking in the streets, that they knew who this Jesus was. They knew that he was the one that God had sent, the one that they were expecting. So when Jesus actually called them to follow him, they knew who he was and they knew what he offered, and they just left everything because they wanted to become fishers of people and not fishing and as they had been, because that's what God was calling them to do. Because Jesus always reveals himself to us before he calls us. And we can see examples in the Bible of Jesus revealing himself to people and then calling them. One of those people is Noah, who we read about in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. It tells us that Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless among the people of his time and he walked faithfully with God. Now, he lived in a time when people were wicked. People did not follow God. And so he had a good excuse for not following God because everybody else didn't follow God. But Noah was a righteous man and he loved God and he followed him faithfully. And because of that, God was going to use him to save mankind. And he told Noah to build an ark, gave him all the instructions of how to build it, and Noah faithfully followed every instruction that God gave him so that he and his family would be saved. So he was following God after God revealed himself to him. Then we've got Abraham. Now, Abraham is mentioned in various scriptures about his calling. In Acts chapter 7, and verse 2, we see that this is in Stephen's response to the Sanhedrin. They said, brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. He said, leave your country and your people and go to the land I will show you. Now, Abraham lived in a place which didn't worship God. He was part of a people who didn't know God, but Abraham knew God because God had revealed himself to him. And so he was willing to hear what God was saying to him. And he was saying, leave your country and your people and go to the land I will show you. And then we see in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1, we see where the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land that I will show you, and I will make you into a great nation. So Abraham had every excuse not to go. You know, my family's here. I've always lived here. My father was here. My grandfather was here. Why would I want to move? But Abraham was faithful to God and responded to the invitation to go. And if we see in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, it says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Abraham stepped out in faith through the word that God brought to him, because he knew that God was calling him to something greater. And I'm sure that that was already sort of a witness in his spirit, that he knew that God was with him. We read about Moses in Exodus chapter 3, where God revealed himself through the burning bush. And he called Moses to go and speak to the Pharaohs to get the people of Israel released. He was being sent through the plan of God to rescue his people. And it says in verse 4, God called to Moses from within the bush. Moses, Moses. So God was revealing himself to Moses before he started to tell him what he wanted him to do. And in verse 9, he says, the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. Now you go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. A very special commission that God had for Moses, but he had to reveal himself to him first before he could ask him to go and do the things that he needed him to do. And God wanted to be sure that the children of Israel were going to do things his way. And it says in Leviticus and chapter 18, it says there that God wanted his people to do things his way, not like the way they did things in Egypt, and not like the way that they were going to see the people in Canaan doing things. Not to follow their ways, not to worship their gods, but to keep faithful and true to the God of creation. And he wanted them to know that he's always been a God who was leading his people and leading them in a way that they needed to go. So we see when the children of Israel had come out of Egypt and they were going through the wilderness, we see that during the day, a pillar of cloud led the way. And then at nighttime, it was a pillar of fire. And God led the children of Israel so that they could follow him through the wilderness, because they didn't know where they were going. They'd not been that way before. And how often do we find ourselves in a place where God is calling us to do something, but we don't know? We've not been there before. And when the children of Israel were going to cross the Jordan with Joshua, he said to them to follow the Ark of the Covenant, because the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. And he said, follow the Ark of the Covenant, because again, you've not been this way before. You don't know where you're going, so you've got to keep your eyes on God. And that is still true for us today in everything that we do, that we need to be a people who keep our eyes on God, because we don't know the next step. We don't know what God is calling us to next. When he called Jeremiah, when he was a young person, We see that in Jeremiah chapter 1. And from verse 4, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." Before Jeremiah existed, God knew of his existence. God knew him in the womb. That's true today. God knew us in the womb. God knows us from the very point of conception. He knows who we're going to be. And so we need to be a people who are ready to follow God's leading. Because Jeremiah said to him, but I'm young, I don't know things. And God said to me, but the Lord said to Jeremiah, "Do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you." So when God calls us, he calls us to do things his way, to speak out the things that he wants us to speak out, and to help people see who he is. You know, when the angels appeared to the shepherds and said to them, go to Bethlehem and see this child. So they get up and they go at the instructions of the angels. The wise men, when they came, they were following a star. They saw this star and they knew that it meant something special. And they followed it. So God speaks to us and shows us things in many, many different ways. But he wants us to be people who are going to follow him. So we look at what is a disciple. A disciple is someone who follows a mentor, copies a mentor, a teacher, finds somebody who's a good example, finds somebody who inspires them. That is what a disciple is. So we need to look for people in this world who inspire us. But when we are growing up, or when I was growing up, I looked at all sorts of different ways and different people and different ideas to follow, thinking, they made sense of life, wanting to know, how to move forward in my life. And eventually I realized that it was Jesus I needed to follow. That's because I made lots and lots of bad choices and tried to do things my way and my strength, and they didn't work out. And so I ended up in not very good places, but eventually God got through to me and I realized that it was Jesus that I needed to follow. But God initiates the relationship. God always reaches out to us before we reach out to him. And he helps us to be able to see the way forward. We were dead in our sins when he died for us. And by his great love and his grace for us, he saved us. And when he saved us, he seated us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Even though we had done things so bad, he wanted us to know his love for us. And he prepared works for us to do. All this can be found in Ephesians chapter 2. And it tells us there just how much God loves us. And it's by grace you have been saved through faith. Faith in Jesus, because he has made himself known to us. Because he has shown us the way forward. So in Ephesians chapter 2 and the first 10 verses, you'll find all those truths. You were dead in your transgressions and your sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world. Now, for most of us, we have been in periods of time when we have followed the ways of the world. We have not followed the ways of God. And we have found ourselves in bad situations and we've made bad choices. But God says that all of us, in fact, it says here, all of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires. In verse 4, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. And it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us in heavenly places. God did all of this through grace, by faith, because he loves us. His great love for us that saved us. And we thank him and we praise him, because without him, where would we be? We would still be lost in our sins. And it's that we want to be able to share with other people, because we've been there. We know what it's like, and we've come through, and we've found the way forward. We've found the Messiah. We've found the one who loves us, the God of creation. Hallelujah. And God wants us to be steadfast in that, not turning to the right and not turning to the left, but keeping our eyes steadfast on him. Keeping our eyes on him in every situation. It says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, which we just read in the Ephesians scripture. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. Let us not look at the things that are around us, the things in the natural, but let us look at the things in the spirit. Let us look in the ways that God is leading us. Let us look at what he is doing for us, because he wants the very best for us. He knows what we need. He loves us. And he wants the very best for us. And he teaches us what is best for us. And so he wants us to draw others to him, just as he has drawn us to himself. He wants us to be an example to draw others to us.
So very much. So we'll give you lots of scriptures, because she's a teacher. I am a practical person. I'm an engineer. And God's put us together as a team. He knew we couldn't work independently of one another, irrespective of our characters, our personalities. I was in the world, and Sue had been saved a long time. I'd just gone through a divorce and trying to get my life back together. And then God suddenly plucked me from the world. But he plucked me from the world not so that I could go to church. Not that I could be a nice person and sit in meetings and sing nice songs and have cups of tea and coffee. So that we were called for purpose. You see, being a Christian is not passive. You know, inside each and every one of us, you all know that there's a God-filled space that only he can satisfy. But once he's in there, once the Holy Spirit is living within, you can't just sit there. You're kicking your heels thinking, what is next? What is next? What is next? I mean, I was surprisingly fast-tracked when I came into the church. And I went on the Elisha program. I trained to be a minister. I learned about the gifts of the Spirit, about moving in power, signs and wonders, because that's what the Bible tells us. The New Testament church is all about moving in power and signs and wonders and going out, not staying home. You know, it's okay saying, wait upon the Lord. Excuse me. Wait upon the Lord. Why are you waiting upon the Lord? We wait upon the Lord to have our strength renewed so that we can rise up on wings like eagles. Why do we need the strength to rise upon wings like eagles? So that we can soar even higher than we've been before. So that we can go beyond what we've done. So that our strength that we've expended going forth into the world, preaching, teaching, making disciples, evangelizing, baptizing, healing the sick, casting out demons, even raising the dead. Because Jesus said, even greater things than these, his signs and wonders, you will do. What does that mean? That Jesus has handed the baton to the disciples. If you are a disciple of Christ, you are a follower of Christ, then the baton has been handed to you. So what are you going to do with it? Are you going to stick it in the drawer? Forget about it? Stick it under the bed, under the pillow? The word of God is active. The word of God is a two-edged sword. Now, a two-edged sword is an awesome weapon. You know, it cuts both ways. It's a tool for fighting. Fighting against the spiritual enemy. Fighting against demons. Fighting against Satan. Fighting against principalities of this world. And the Bible tells us that violent men take the kingdom by force. Not sitting down and having a nice cup of tea. Oh, pass me a skin, will you? Oh, that's nice. Oh, wasn't it a lovely meeting? Wasn't those people charming? The kingdom of God is about going out. It's going into the world and showing what God has done in your life. Showing what God can do in other people's lives. He's transformed us. We've been transformed by the renewing of our minds. Our mindset has changed. Now, over the years, there's been a lot of feeble teaching. Teaching that's not encouraged us to grow. We've become sheep. And we've just been put out to pasture. And we graze on the grass. And we think, yeah, this is nice. This is good. But we've not grown. We've not become shepherds. We're still sheep. We've not grown into what God has called and chose us to be. He's got a purpose for each and every one of our lives. Okay, it might only be speaking to the neighbor. It might be ministering in the gifts, whether that's signs and wonders, miracles, healings, or whether it's just hospitality. Yes, people have the gift of hospitality, but they have to step out into that ministry and take hold of it. I praise God for all those people who do the cooking, the cleaning, the sweeping up, the making the coffee. Praise God. If that's their calling, fine. If that's what satisfies that God-filled hole inside them, then praise God. But we're called to be warriors. We're called to go beyond the natural and live in the supernatural. The supernatural is a realm it's all around us. We don't have to come together in a group, in a church meeting, and expect the Holy Spirit to be there. The Holy Spirit is indwelling. And once you've been filled and called and chosen, you're commissioned to go out. To go out and be the feet of Christ in the world. Now, I never wanted to be a missionary. Gosh, I never wanted to leave Sheffield. I was quite happy in my little working class world. Don't want to go away with all these to foreign lands because guess what? It's full of foreigners. That was my attitude. I was very much happy where I was in my little English cul-de-sac. God didn't want me living in a cul-de-sac. The world's bigger than that. The kingdom's bigger than that. God wanted me out there. So something had to change. Man, God's put me through some stuff. And he's still putting me through stuff. Why? Because I have to change. My mindset has to change. My whole outlook has to change. I didn't like people. I still have problems with some people. Don't we all? Even God has problems with some people. But he chooses to love us. He chooses to stretch his hand out, to draw us close. Because he loves us so much, he wants us to have the best of this world and the best of the world to come. He loves us so much, he doesn't want us to stay the same. He wants us to be transformed into the image of Christ so that people, when they see us, they see Jesus. When they meet us in the street, we have an impact that they can't put their hands on. It's just that's he's a nice person. No. There has to be something deeper. There has to be a presence. And we have to carry that presence within us. So all this about going, yeah. Going to the street, going to your neighbor's garden, going to the marketplace, going to all the world. Who would have believed that I'd be here living in Africa on an island surrounded by black people? And yet, when I'm in town, I don't feel white. I don't feel different. I feel these are the people that God has given to me. These are the people that God has connected me with. This is my world now. This is where God wants me to operate. And we're making a difference to people's lives. We're showing them the love of God, because God first loved us. We're able to stretch out our hands. God's met us in so many ways. God continues to meet us in so many ways that you just can't fathom it. You know, we've got riches beyond riches, and I can't put a number on it. It's not like, yeah, we've got this in the bank and that in the bank. That's not what I'm talking about. The riches that we have are where we live, the people that God's engaged us with, the lifestyle he's given us to be able to cope with whatever situation we face. You know, back in Isaiah, and God says, who shall I send? And Isaiah says, here I am. Send me. You know, I was a man of a bad heart and unclean lips. God has done a work in me. God has transformed me, and he's still transforming me, and he's still working on me, because I'm a stubborn so-and-so. Sue can testify to that. Gosh, I am a stubborn so-and-so. But even that, God can work with. He can use that in situations to stand firm. That's in my natural character. He's going to use it in my supernatural character. When God says go, you say, here I am. Where do you want to go? Don't fear. Fear is our biggest enemy. Fear will stop you making a decision. Fear will stop you stepping out. Fear will bind you up so that you do not inherit the fullness of what God has got for you. Fear is a weapon of the enemy. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a murderer. He'll whisper in your ear, God never said that. God didn't call you. You haven't been chosen. You're not good enough. You'll never make the mark. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. He is the one. He equips, he empowers, he prepares, he guides. And even when you mess it all up, he's there to pick you back up again. Renew your strength. Why? Because he wants you to go higher. He wants you to go further. He wants you to be better. He wants you to soar on the thermals of the Spirit of God. He wants you to have a kingdom vision that you don't want to keep it to yourself. You want to share it. You don't want to stay at home, because what's at home? You know, the world is out there. The world is going to hell. But God, his heart is such that he wants to see the world transformed. He wants to see people bowing the knee and worshipping him so that they can enjoy eternal life, not eternal death. And I just encourage you, pray where you are today, tonight. Take a quiet time out. Just talk to God. God, am I in the right place? You know, I was amazed when we were in Ross, in our church, just about everybody that was in the church had come from a different town. I think we had one, maybe two people who actually came from Ross-on-Wye. God had brought everybody else who was in the church from somewhere else. Why? Because God is in the moving business, not the staying business. God calls us together to inspire us, to make us grow, to give us better experiences. Why? Because we are to go into all the world. and we are to make a difference. We are to be kingdom people wherever we are. And we're not special, we're just ordinary people. We're just natural people with a supernatural God. We've been inspired by the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't see miracles every day, but they happen. We're just there, ready for when God says, now. Go here, go there, speak to this person, lay hands on this person. Step out in faith. Know that I am with you. Know that my hand is upon you. Know that you are called to do greater things than Jesus did. And we have to believe that we are sent. Each and every one of us are sent to go, not to stay. So I just want to bless you all this morning. I just want to encourage you all this morning. I want you to step out in faith and be underpinned by the wings of God to see what he can do with your life. Because me, I was useless. I wasn't going anywhere. I was happy in my little cul-de-sac in Sheffield, my little world with my bunch of friends. I didn't want to go anywhere. But how empty my life would have been. How poor the quality of my existence and my legacy would have been nothing. Now I'm so blessed with the people whose lives Jesus is touching and transforming. And he's lifting them up out of the miry pit, setting their feet upon a rock. Why? Not so they can just stand on the rock, but that they can depend upon the rock, move forward and grow and become disciples, to become followers of Christ, not fillers of pews.
Amen. Hallelujah. You know, God wants us to be his examples. God calls us to be his examples. And in order to be able to be his examples, we need to know the power that is available to us. You know, when Jesus was going to leave this world, when he was speaking to the disciples right at the end, and he said, stay in Jerusalem until you have received power from on high. The disciples met and gathered together, and they prayed and they waited and they prayed and they waited in Jerusalem, just as Jesus had told them to, until the day came when the Holy Spirit came. And wow, what a difference did that make? They were suddenly filled with such boldness, and they could do so many things that they couldn't do before. And Peter stood up in front of all the people in Jerusalem and declared the truth of who Jesus was and what they had done to him, how they had crucified him and killed him. But God had raised him from the dead, and God had seated him back up into the heavenly realms. And now the Holy Spirit had been given for the church, for his people, that the word of God could be spread around, starting in Jerusalem and then in Samaria and Judea and to the ends of the world. And so when the Holy Spirit fell, that initial speaking into Jerusalem happened. And everywhere they went, they spoke in the temples, they spoke in the streets, they saw miracles happening, they saw things, signs and wonders that they hadn't seen before, because God was with them and God was working in them through the Holy Spirit. Now, we also need that power to be able to go and continue the work that God has sent. We need the Holy Spirit. We can't do things without the Holy Spirit, because then we're doing things in our own strength. And God wants us to do things only in his strength. So we thank him and we praise him for that gift of the Holy Spirit that he's given to us, and that gift which is available to everybody, not just to us, but to everybody. And after they had been in Jerusalem for some time. They were quite happy being there, doing the speaking and meeting with people and seeing many people added to the church daily. But God wanted that word to go out. So he had to send persecution. So persecution came, and the children of the disciples were spread around. Philip went down to Caesarea, and on his way he went through Samaria. And we saw many, many things. As we read through Acts, we see the many, many things that the disciples did and the power that was with them. And we thank God for that, because that was through the Holy Spirit that we ended up coming here to Uganda. In 2001, when God spoke to me through the Holy Spirit to say that we needed to come. And we came not knowing where we were going, not knowing what we were going to do. We had no idea. But gradually, bit by bit, God showed us the next step and then the next step. We started by helping us to build a school in the suburbs of Kampala. And just from that, we've seen so many things happen, so many doors open, that God has led us on this pathway. And he's still leading us on this pathway. We're still finding new things that God is opening up for us. Doors that he will open for us that other people can't open for us, but God can open. He can show us the way, and he continues to do that. And we thank him for that. And we want to see this good news spread. We thank God that he's opened up an opportunity on the radio program in Kalangala, so that we've been able to speak to many people in different islands that we wouldn't otherwise meet. God has opened that door, and we thank him and we praise him, because it's only through his goodness that we've been able to do that. And we want to see people grow in Christ. We want to see people develop. We want to see ourselves continuing to develop in all that God's got for us, that we can grow together, because he wants the church to come together as a mature body, one faith, one baptism. God is calling us to be his people together, that we can see, that other people can see the goodness of God in the lives that we lead. You know, in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, it says, call unto me, come to me, and I will show you unsearchable things, unspeakable things, things that we had no idea about. God is calling us today, all of us, to hear him, to follow him, to do the things that he calls us to do, that he wants us to be his disciples, and he wants us to show others how to be his disciples. And when some of the disciples fell away from Jesus because they found the teaching too hard, he said to the 12, he said, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to follow them and go away and leave me? And Peter said, Lord, where would we go? Who's got the words of life but you? Jesus still has the words of life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the way. He is the way to follow. He is the one that is going to show us about our lives. And we want to thank him for that. And before Jesus ever tells us to go anywhere, he first of all says, come. Come to me. Come and sit at my feet. Come and learn who I am. Come and learn from me. Come to me, those who are weary and heavy laden. Come to me. Come and learn from me. And then when he has filled us up, he can send us out. So we first of all need to come to him so that he can send us out, and he can lead us and guide us the way he wants us. You know, whatever plans we make, it's always God who directs our steps. As long as our hearts are open to him and asking him to lead us in the way that he has for us. So thank you so much for being with us this morning. Thank you for joining us. We've enjoyed so much being able to share with you. And may God bless you all in Jesus' name. Amen.